Please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12 that I've referenced about. Please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. "This is John the Baptist," he told his servants. "He has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had arrested John, chained him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Since John had been telling him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Though Herod wanted to kill John, he feared the crowd since they regarded John as a prophet. When Herod's birthday celebration came, Herodias' daughter danced before them and pleased Herod. So he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she answered, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." Although the king regretted it, he commanded that it be granted because of his oaths and his guests. So he sent orders and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. Then his disciples came and removed the corpse, buried it, and went and reported to Jesus. You may be seated. That might sound like an odd text for a Christmas message, but I want us to look at the different Herods and how they responded to Jesus. We are at a time where it doesn't look good for the followers of Jesus. Jesus has been rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. He had gone and proclaimed the message in the synagogue and told them, "You have heard, you have seen Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled in your presence." And then he explains to them that the gospel message was for everyone, not just the Jewish people. That upset the people in the synagogue, and they took Jesus, and they were going to throw him off the edge of the cliff, but they didn't like what he said. But he walked out from their midst, and it said he couldn't do very many miracles there because of their hardness of heart. And this is the time that we come to Herod hearing about Jesus. Now, this is not the Herod of the birth of Jesus or the visit of the wise men. That's another Herod. We're going to look at him in just a minute. But this Herod is his son. And it says, Herod the Tetrarch. After Herod the Great, that's the Herod of the birth of Jesus, died, his kingdom was divided into four parts. And this Herod is ruler over one-fourth of the kingdom. He's the ruler over the area of Galilee, where Jesus is doing most of his ministry. And he's hearing about Jesus. And he's trying to figure out what or who is Jesus. What's going on at this time of year when we celebrate Christmas? A lot of people wonder what's going on. There are people who say our time right now is just to get and give presents. But there was a time when a present, the greatest gift of all, was ever given. God himself named to his creation and gave us a gift, offered it to us. Jesus, God in a body, born, laid into a manger, a feeding trough, if you will, in a barn, because there was no room for them in Bethlehem. Now there's a neat song by Cap. grass and crowns and build it. No room for a king. Let's talk about, they didn't have any room in Bethlehem for Jesus. Do we have room for Jesus now? Herod heard about Jesus. He heard about his miracles, heard about his teachings. And he remembered, and so we have a flashback. Herod had had John the Baptizer executed. Because Herod heard the message from John, and John had told them, it is not lawful for you, Herod, to have your brother Philip's wife. Now, if you've ever done any genealogy searching and trying to trace anything out, sometimes it's a little difficult. Well, it would be extremely difficult in this situation. Herod the Great had a son. And that son, Antipas, had a daughter, Herodias. Now, one of Herod the Great's other sons, Herod, here who we're talking, this is Herod Antipas, Herodias is his niece, his brother's daughter. Now, his brother's daughter, Herodias, is married to his brother, Philip. But he wants to be married to his brother's wife. Now, he's married to somebody else at the same time. But he works it out so he can have Herodias, his brother's wife, leave her brother, Herod Antipas, the Herod of our that executed John. He left his wife so they could be together. And John the Baptist says, that's not right with God. It's not right that you've taken your brother's wife. Much other issues there because of the incestuous relationship, because it's your niece too. But John gave him God's word. This is the truth. God says, this is wrong. And a lot of us today hear the message of God's truth and don't want to listen to it. Now, you don't necessarily have the tinnitus going on you, in your ear like I've got going on my ear, and you don't always hear everything. Actually, I hear everything. I just hear this ringing at the same time. I had tinnitus before our accident last week, and it just made it a lot worse. And for those of you who haven't heard, when we left here Friday, heading up to Tennessee to spend some time with my son and have a little time off. And right after it came out on the prayer chain, pray for our trip. If you look, the deer herd was not put on the prayer chain. So, or maybe it was, because if you came out in front and stood, look, Lana being a good driver, it slowed down. And the car did what it was designed to do. New cars are designed to crush up like an aluminum can, and that slows down, reduces the impact. So when the airbag went off, it didn't even hit us, or we didn't go into the airbag, although the heat from it didn't melt part of Lana's shirt, and that explosion of it coming off made my hearing continue ringing louder and louder. Louder it was, is what I'm saying. But God is in charge. And the book David was showing up one heartbeat away. Still seeing that deer right in front of us, don't know what's going to happen next. But all we had is a pop, and that was airbags going off. And a little crumpling, got out, was able to still drive the car off the side of the road. And, the police came and took care of everything. And, tow truck driver took us to our hotel, which was an hour away. God has looked out and done for us, and God's not done with us yet. And if we're all here, God's not done with any of us yet. Well, God was not done with John the Baptizer yet. He was proclaiming the message to Herod. God said, what you're doing is wrong. We all hear the message of God. Our world hears the message of God, and they do a lot like Herod did. I don't want to hear it. So they try to silence the message. Herod had John put in prison. Now, it tells us in a parallel account in Mark that he liked to go and listen to him. And he kept him in prison because he didn't want John going to say, hey, our king here, that's the king over us, is doing what God says not to do, blatantly living in sin. Herod tried to silence God's messenger. But there came a time, every year at Herod's birthday, he threw a big party. And at his party, his niece's daughter, because remember, he wanted Herod, his niece Herodias as his wife. Well, her daughter and Philip's daughter, remember he had Herodias was married to Philip, and Herod got Herodias to leave Philip and come be with him. Well, the daughter, so this would have been his niece, and in a sense his great niece, because Herodias was his niece, and Salome would be the daughter of his niece. She danced, and it made Herod very happy, and he swore on an oath, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Salome went and asked her mother, Herodias, what should I ask for? The head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now, a lot of people say that there's no influence of the Bible in our modern culture, but have you ever heard the phrase, they're going to hand you your head on a silver platter? This is where it comes from. There's a lot of phrases we use in our communication, and they go back to biblical times. Well, it says Herod was more concerned about what people thought than doing what was right. It said it disturbed him. He regretted it, but he didn't want other people to think bad of him. So he chose to have John the Baptist executed and his head given to Herodias. He made a choice. He chose to please people, including himself, because he didn't like John the Baptist publicly saying that what he was doing was wrong, but also pleasing his guests. There was another Herod, and this Herod we see in chapter 2 of Matthew. Turn with me there. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. Now this is the Herod we just looked at, his father. This is Herod the Great. Wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. O you Bethlehem and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men, asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me, so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling on their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. After they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah weeping, a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled. They were no more. This other Herod, he heard about Jesus, just like Herod Antipas in our passage in chapter 14, heard about Jesus. Just like Herod Antipas, he misunderstood about Jesus. This Herod thought Jesus was coming to take away his kingship. Thought Jesus was a military leader. Thought Jesus was going to cause trouble for him. Thought Jesus was something different than the one coming to take away the sins of the world. And just like Herod Antipas, Herod the Great rejected the Messiah. Herod the Great asked the religious leaders, where is the Messiah going to be born? Not where is the King of the Jews, but the Messiah, the one that's prophesied to bring about reconciliation in Israel. King Herod the Great rejected Jesus as Messiah. But it seems like the chief priests and the scribes rejected him too at that time. Later on, we know they did. But here, they had just told King Herod in Bethlehem the Messiah would be born. But they didn't run down to Bethlehem to find the Messiah. They didn't go looking. They rejected the idea of searching for the Messiah. Herod the Great, just like Herod Antipas, tried to silence the message of the truth. Herod Antipas had John the Baptist executed after he had him put in prison. Herod the Great had all the children in the area of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, executed. Let's try to silence what God is going to do. Herod the Great, just like Herod Antipas, feared the reaction of the people if another Messiah came. And like Herod Antipas, Herod the Great made a choice to reject Jesus. And now we come to today. We looked at Herod Antipas. We look at us. We heard about Jesus? Are we misunderstanding about Jesus that he's coming to make our life more comfortable? If Jesus is your Lord, beer will not run out in front of your car. If Jesus is your Lord, there's not going to be any more problems. No. Jesus didn't come to make our lives more comfortable. Jesus didn't come to remove all problems here on earth. Jesus came to remove the problem of what we do with all eternity. When we step through the door from this life into the next, we're going to meet a holy God that we might have tried to silence or that we accepted. 2,000 years ago, wise men came to visit Jesus, a little baby in a manger, and gave him great and precious gifts. Each gift signified one of his roles: gold for a king, incense for a priest, and myrrh for the burial and the sacrificial death. The shepherds heard the message from the angel, and they went into town to find the baby. We have heard the message of Jesus. He has come to forgive us of our sins. But we have a choice to make also. Are we going to be more concerned about what the world thinks or what God thinks about our choice for what we do with Jesus? Our eternal destiny depends on what we do with the choice we have. This time last week, I was in a small church in Bellywood, and the church was packed singing praises to God. People from all over that had come to that amusement park, if you will, sort of amusement park, packed in a small church building. They gathered to sing praises to God. Other people could be walking by outside, but everybody packed in, not being concerned what the other people who had just come to hear the country music or ride on a roller coaster, what they thought. They took the time to worship. What are you going to do this Christmas season and each day of your life? What choice are you going to make? Is it going to be based on what pleases God or what pleases people? Proverbs 29:25, it says, "Fear a man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is kept safe." Safe now, safe for eternity. That doesn't mean there's not going to be any more problems. Jesus didn't come to remove all the problems. Came to make your future, your eternity secure, and to be there to walk beside you every moment of the day. Was Jesus surprised that a deer came in front of our car last week? No. Was Jesus surprised that I'd be standing up here with my ear ringing and playing this? No. Nothing surprises God. God doesn't make us accept him. He gives us the choice. Herod Antipas, Herod the Great, the wise men, the shepherds, all had a choice. What are you going to do with the message? This is the end of it. What are you going to do with the message of Jesus? It's meant to be short. Mark Cahill also wrote a book, "The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven." The one thing you can't do in heaven is lead someone to Christ. Because everyone in heaven is a Christian. You have the opportunity, while you're still here, to before you get to that, we'll share with them. They might not accept the message. Or you're still here. But many people will hear the message you told. And God's word is not returned. Share with others the true meaning of Christmas. Stay on your front, those of you. Dear God, I thank you for what you've been here to do. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you came not to bring political stability, not to be a conquering king, but be a sacrificial one. Being the sacrifice for our sin. You are going to come back again as the conquering king. You've always been that. But you're coming back again, having once come to bring forgiveness. But you're coming again to bring judgment. Let us accept your forgiveness so that you're ready and we have no fear of your judgment. As you pray in our situation.